I'm Nick, and you're listening to the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. We're in conversation with ordinary blokes from all walks of life, working out what it means to follow Jesus. This podcast is part of Empower, which is a ministry of the Elim Pentecostal movement, reaching and serving men all around the world. Our vision is that all men have the potential to join a great band of brothers in Christ. The easiest way for you to connect with Empower is via our business WhatsApp. Click the link in the message notes that come with our podcasts and send us a message. You can join loads of other blokes already receiving our encouraging and helpful resource broadcasts every week. We're online at empower.zone, and we're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search Elim Empower. Join in the conversation and get yourselves connected. Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome a very special edition of the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast to all of you listeners out there. We have set out and departed from our usual format of just having one guest on, and we are now going to go with three guests and myself as host. So there's four of us on here. It's a special edition of the podcast because we want to talk about something that's really, really important to men. And that's the issue of blokes and loneliness. There's a lot of guys out there who may find this hard to admit, but they're actually pretty lonely. And we wanted to talk into that. But first, before we do that, we are going to kind of go around the room and just introduce each of ourselves. And Mark, why don't you go off first?
Hi, Nick. Hi, everyone. It's great to be with you, Nick, featuring on our own podcast for a change. There we are. And I think it's the first time we've done it as a team. So my name is Mark. You could call me MLJ, and I try and lead the Empower team and just this ministry in Elim where we're trying to encourage men and equip men. I'm married to Gail, and I've got four sons ranging in age from 30-something to 15 and a few in between, and five grandchildren. And so there you go. You know, as well as everything else, that keeps us all in touch with what's going on in the world. So it's just great to be here, be part of this podcast, Nick. Thanks for inviting us.
Brilliant, MLJ. And you're right, actually. I've just realized that this podcast is actually, we've all individually featured on our podcast on the on the episodes in the past as individual guests. So it's kind of nice to have all four of us together. Really, really good. Gordon, how about you?
Hi, Nick. Hi, everybody. My name's Gordon, and I am in Edinburgh in Scotland. And you can call me, well, plenty of people have called me plenty of things over the years, but probably better not go there just as we're on a nice, clean podcast. I am married to Heather. We will be married 25 years this year. So I think she should get a service medal for patience, endurance, and long suffering. We have three children. A daughter that's 21 and two sons, one that's 18 and one that's 14. And it is great to be on this podcast today.
Great stuff, Gordon. And Liam, hope your sound is okay. I know we've been having problems with your video today, but do you just want to introduce yourself as well? Is that all right?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Good afternoon, morning, evening, everybody, whenever you're tuning in to this. It's great to be with you today. And yeah, great to get alongside you guys on this podcast for the first time. My name's Liam. I was going to say I'm born in Bournemouth, but I'm not. I'm living in Bournemouth, normally sunny Bournemouth, but it's disgusting today. I'm loving life down here with Anna, my wife, been married for 13 years. And yeah, doing life with four children, two boys, two girls, 3, 6, 9, and 11. And just recently, last week, my little girl went off to nursery. So it's a quiet home and a quiet day off. So, yeah, loving life.
Thanks for that, Liam, Gordon, MLJ. That's great to hear your introductions. I'll introduce myself as well. Yeah, I'm Nick. I'm married to Chloe. We've been married together over 20 years now. And I've got three lads, 19, just about to turn 17, and 15. And they're all back in school and at uni as well. So we're starting to get some semblance of normality back in our household after a long period of everybody being at home the whole time. So, yeah, so you've heard a little bit about each of us. What I want to do is, or what all of us really want to do, is to get into this issue of what is the deal with blokes and loneliness. And Mark, I'm going to ask you first, just from your experience as a pastor, as leader of our national men's ministry, you must have a bit of an awareness of this. Just talk us around the issue for a minute, if you didn't mind.
That's fine, Nick. You know, very often during the course of a week, we've all got a big boss called Chris Cartwright, who's also featured on the podcast. And very often he'll send a link to an article to us. And one of the links to an article he sent a few months ago now was this whole issue of how difficult men find friendship, to maintain friendship and avoid loneliness. And so that came across my desk. And obviously, we're just emerging, you know, from like nearly 12 or 13 months of lockdown. And really, this whole issue has been highlighted throughout that, you know, throughout the lockdown COVID season that we're all enduring. And, you know, and we know that because we've done this stuff a while now, you know, that men face issues of varying types and pressures in all walks of life and all sides of life. But one of the things I think has always been an underlying threat to men is isolation. And, you know, and I suppose the most famous story in the Bible would be about King David, who in the season when all the kings went off to war, decided to stay at home and inevitably sort of had his wicked way with a young lady called Bathsheba. So his decision to isolate himself took him to a pretty bad place that had incredible consequences that didn't just stop at adultery. But, you know, I think isolation, you know, is a bit can be, you know, a big threat to many men. One of the features of this article that got sent through by the, you know, in the Sunday Times was that, you know, as men go through life and get towards midlife, you know, that potentially, like we've all heard of the midlife crisis, but, you know, you could say that this could be, there's a threat of midlife isolation, where it seems that men have this particular knack or gift of isolating themselves and not pursuing quality friendships, you know, that actually can add to their life, you know, in years to come. And so by the time they get to retirement, could find themselves completely isolated and in a lonely place. And so what's happened because of lockdown, it's naturally put men in a place of being cut off ahead of time, if you like. And perhaps all of us have had that experience of some days during lockdown, you know, of just sort of looking at four blank walls, wondering, you know, what is this all about? How did we find ourselves here? And how are we going to get through? And I think, although we've got social media and we've got messaging, you know, I don't think we're the best at picking up the phone, you know, and saying, how you doing, mate? Are you keeping all right? You know, or, you know, you've been in my thoughts. You know, I have done that quite a number of times with various guys, but I don't think we're brilliant at that sort of thing, of checking in with each other. I'm delighted that I can sort of do life with you guys here. There's a few other guys as well, and we've sort of kept in contact throughout lockdown on a quite a regular basis, you know, even if it was just to get together as team, but at least we've had that contact. And then if you sort of, you know, look at the worst case scenario, you know, and look at the suicide rates, you know, just before lockdown, you know, the suicide rate for men in England and Wales in 2019 was the highest it'd been for two decades. And 75% of all suicides, there's about 5,300 a year, are men. So three out of four men. And the highest risk are those guys in the age group 45 to 49. So remarkably, you know, the biggest killer in men, you know, under 50 in the UK is suicide, which is staggering. And I know as we've approached this podcast together, you know, we've had a bit of a struggle to get this recorded. Nothing to do with Nick's technical ability, probably a lot to do with mine, but, you know, for one reason or another, you know, there's been other pressures, and this is our third attempt to get this together. And I think we've all agreed, you know, probably, you know, there's something else at work, you know, trying to stop us discussing this issue, connecting with you guys that are listening to us today, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening from. And we believe that God is right in the middle of this. And we believe that, you know, it's not an easy subject to talk about. It's not an easy subject to admit exists, you know, in us as men. But we believe it's crucial that we are addressing this, that you, you know, if you're listening today and you want the team, you know, to pray for you at some point, then please let us know. You can do that. And Nick will tell you later the various ways in which you can connect with us, but we've prayerfully come, you know, come to do this together, because we believe there's men out there who just need to be reminded that there is a God who loves them, and that there is hope for the future, and that God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives. I've got a couple of real life stories that I'm going to share, because I believe it helps with the context of what we're actually doing. I've done a number of funerals this year for people who've lost their mums or lost their partners or lost family members, and we've ended up with these tiny little funerals, aspects of which, you know, have been, you know, quite nice for the families in terms of it's quite intimate, but within that also a sense of loss that other people couldn't join with them and support them in their grief. And so I had one email from a guy who said this about this subject of isolation. And he said that during lockdown, right early on in lockdown, he lost his mum. And unfortunately, due to the situation, he was unable to visit her in those last days and those last moments. And through it, he sensed an even bigger sense of loss and saw himself cutting himself off from other people, within the middle of this grief, and didn't involve people to get through. And he found that his prayer life faltered. He stopped reading the Bible, and he just began to close down. The way he described it, he began to close down from the inside out. It began to affect my marriage. I felt I couldn't tell anyone. I got more isolated the longer it went, and the more isolated I got with my own emotions. And it's as though I couldn't trust anyone, and I couldn't even love my wife in the way that I wanted to. And so saw myself having fallen into the trap of cutting myself off. And in late December, he said, I spoke to the doctor who prescribed antidepressants, but thankfully, before starting them, I decided just to sort of talk to a couple of people who I knew cared for and loved for me, and they began to ask me some tough questions, and this helped me see a bit more clearly and how far I'd stepped away from God. Because not only can we find ourselves in danger of isolating ourselves from other people, but easily isolating ourselves from God. And he should be the one guy that we should be able to talk to at all times. And so, thankfully, this brother of ours says, I didn't start the tablets. I began to talk to the Lord again. I invited God into the middle of my situation, and I began to come through. And he found hope, in just speaking with the Lord and then speaking with other guys and other people that he knew loved them. That's one story of a guy who lost someone in COVID, his mum, and it really crushed him at the time. Just before Christmas, I had another WhatsApp message from one of the guys out there who's part of the Empower Band of Brothers. And I just got this WhatsApp message one day saying, Mark, I hope this finds you well. He's a bit of a big shot, this guy, an international business, usually working away from home and all that stuff. And the lockdown just sort of changed his working pattern and everything that he did dramatically for him. One Friday, just before Christmas, and his daughters had come home from university, he said that he felt absolutely crushed by the isolation he felt, even in his own house. He just felt, my girls have been away, they've come back, and I feel in the darkest place that I've ever felt I've been in. And he said, I just went out for a walk. It's a great thing to do, go and have a walk, guys. I found myself doing more walking now than I've ever done. But actually, he just had to escape the loneliness in his own house. And, there may be some guys, who are feeling like that listening today. He went out, he plugged into some Empower podcasts, believe it or not, and just in the next few hours as he walked the countryside and sat down, had a sort of home, I think a homemade sausage roll from the farm shop. And no, it was a Balti pie, that's it. He had a Balti pie and a little mulled cider. And as he listened to the podcast, he just felt hope returning to his heart as he sort of began to realise he found himself in this awful, crushing place of isolation. And then as a result, you know, of whatever he listened to that day, was able to draw himself out of isolation by sharing his story with us as a team. And, okay, it was remote, but at least he could sort of tell us his story. And there's a number of other stories. I could go on, but I'll take up the whole podcast, and I don't want to do that. But I think I'm just trying to, you know, it just illustrates the point that guys are feeling isolated, they're feeling lonely, and perhaps, like you, might be wondering, what do I do next? Back over to you, Nick.
Mark, it's ever so helpful to hear you give not only sort of information from a kind of big picture like newspapers and reports and so on, but those two specific stories I think are pretty representative of a lot of blokes' experience. And they're pretty heartbreaking, really, because, you know, as blokes, we tend to put on a tough front, don't we? Stiff up a lip, you know, we don't give away our emotions too easily. But inside, we can feel dreadful about stuff and very disconnected. And I wanted to ask maybe Liam and then Gordon, I've got some experiences of loneliness. I'll share those in a bit as well. But have you had specific experiences of loneliness and or maybe people you've helped that have reported being lonely to you in your role as pastors? Just talk us through that a little bit. Liam, if you maybe go first on that. Any thoughts on that?
Quite a lot of experience. And even now, what I often find with, we do quite a lot of work with people on the streets and people stuck in addiction. And addiction's quite an isolating issue with people. It's probably the biggest factor in addiction is loneliness and isolation and being broken away from community. And one of the easiest ways to help people with addiction is to bring them back into some connection and stuff. But I just remembered that a few years ago in a previous church, there was a young man who was baptized, and he'd had a bit of a struggle, came out of prison, was doing really well, got baptized, was doing really, really well, and then had a bit of a hiccup on while he was on license, and he ended up going back to prison. When he came out, he was a very different man, and we noticed that he was always he was the last one in the church. He was the first one out. Whenever any of us were trying to get hold of him, trying to speak to him, it was very closed. He just, you know, that he wasn't the same. And very sadly, he was found. He'd committed suicide on Boxing Day. And a lot of us in the church, a lot of the men in the church felt, you know, not personally responsible, but always felt that we could have done something more for him, could have reached out a little bit more. And so we, you know, actually made a decision that we were going to be a bit more proactive with fellowship with men and started meeting regular and holding each other to, you know, kind of account for that, how's things going, just making sure that all the men in the church had some kind of connection. We didn't want his kind of, almost, you know, his problems and his life go to waste. And we did, you know, all that we could to keep that going, because, you know, he isolated himself. And I think there was some, you know, we could have took a bit more responsibility with it, but it certainly is a two-way thing. And, you know, he was obviously full of shame. He'd come so far and felt that he couldn't do that again. And, you know, there was a number of reasons, but yeah, very sadly took his own life and left, you know, devastation with his family and stuff. And, you know, that's just kind of one story. I've met a number of guys in my past when I've been in prison and rehab and stuff. And, you know, we've all been in the same boat. I've wandered around the streets, you know, sleeping in shop doorways for days on end without talking to anybody, you know. And loneliness isn't about people around you. Like, you know, Mark, you shared the story of the bloke being at home. It's not about the people that are around you. It's the connection that you've got. And if you haven't got that connection, you're going to feel lonely. You could be in a community of 100 people. You could be sat in the middle of church right now with so many great people around you. But if there's no connection, there's no relationship, you're going to feel lonely. You know, loneliness is an internal thing, isn't it? It's a, something that will, you know, the longer that we feel lonely, the more separate that we'll feel. And, you know, we begin to fall down in our opinions of ourselves. We get, you know, we fall into depression. It's a spiraling thing that, yeah, I guess we need to be more aware of and need to be more proactive and intent with dealing with, you know, and look out for those signs before it even gets that bad. That's, you know, so we don't lose brothers along the way. So we don't feel people, you know, drifting away and, yeah, losing connection with others.
Gordon, how about you? You know, we've heard from Mark and we've heard from Liam on some of the, you know, the practical aspects of what it's really like to be lonely and the struggle. And, you know, Liam's talked there about his own journey of homelessness or being isolated. And then this guy in his church. What's your perspective on the issue of loneliness?
Yeah, I think loneliness is massive. I think loneliness can affect so many people in so many different ways. But I think some of the things that Liam mentioned there, that whole thing of connecting, you know, we've got so many ways now to connect in the world with, you know, internet and social media and all those things, but yet loneliness is massive. It's about, I think there's some things to think about, you know, that isolation that MLJ is talking about, the fact that we begin to listen to our own voice, you know, telling us who we're not, rather than perhaps, you know, the voice of affirmation and telling us who we are, who we can be, which leads to that identity. And that whole thing of our identity in Christ, in many ways, our, you know, loneliness is a fruit. You know, there are some roots that cause loneliness. We've touched on some of them, you know, today in our chat and in our conversation. You know, it can be just that lack of friends, disability, it could be physical appearance, socially awkward, depression, anxiety, isolation, sin, shame, remorse, regret, singleness, relationship breakup, death of a life partner, addiction, being a man of God, being in leadership, being consumed by your career. There could be so many avenues and entry points for us to feel isolated, to feel lonely, and to feel as though we're the only one that's ever been like this or felt like this, that nobody knows, nobody understands, and maybe even that nobody cares. I think some of the reasons that men get into that kind of space in particular is that we fall into the stereotype where we're told big boys don't cry, vulnerability is weakness. I think sometimes we see other men not as being brothers or allies, but as being threats and opposition. You know, we're sometimes conditioned in the world of business that everybody else is just a commodity and a stepping stone, that you don't form real relationships with people because you just, you know, you might need to use them for your own purpose, which is obviously never right. Sometimes loneliness just comes from that inability to open up because there's this fear of being mocked. You know, guys have the pack mentality. You don't need to be the top dog and the alpha male. You just don't need to be the runt of the litter, the one that gets the butt of everybody's jokes. And so that whole kind of thing, if you're in a laddish community where it's like all about the banter and all about kind of, like, you know, putting somebody else down at, you know, making yourself look good at their expense, then you're not going to open up and say, oh, I feel lonely, I feel isolated, you know. But you can be feeling lonely when you're sleeping in a shop doorway, but as we've all said, you can be lonely when you are in a crowd. One of the books that I read once was by Nicky Cruz, who was the guy who wrote the Cross and the Switchblade book about what it was, you know, the gangs in New York and David Wilkerson and coming to faith. And he wrote of his journey actually in Bible college. I don't know if it's a word for anybody that's listened to this, you know, the book of his experience at Bible college being listed as lonely but never alone. And it's always been a title that's stuck with me. You know, those times where you maybe feel, what's going on? Where am I? Who's around about me? Who am I going to be? You know, all those kind of big kind of questions of life, you know, that who am I? Who will love me? Who will I love? Where do I find my worth? Where do I find my comfort and reward? To remember, I am never alone. The Bible says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And to know that my identity doesn't come from whether I feel as though I'm initially connected with, you know, whether it's family, work colleagues, friends, whatever, my connectedness needs to be heavenward as my starting point, you know. And if I get that connection right, other things will begin to flow. Now, it doesn't mean all of a sudden everything's like a bed of roses, that there's no problems, there's no hassles, there's no difficulties. But, you know, when I begin to listen to the voice of God, when I begin to read in the Bible, spend time maybe aside in prayer, which, you know, for some ways being, you know, being on your own gives you more time, you know, to pray, to hear God. And when we invest our time in those things, you know, we begin to understand that God is with us, that God is for us. Psalm 68 says that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. Mm-hmm. And I think that within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, Trinity, tri-unity, there is a unity together. There's community that's there. I think that the model that is offered in the Bible for the New Testament of churches being family, of being a body, means that we have got something to model and something to offer for those that are lonely. Now, we don't always get it right. You know, we're all learning. But I think our identity flows from a relationship with God. You know, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new comes. But then flowing from that, being in that community together. Jesus, speaking of when he was going to the Father, he said to the disciples in John 14 and 18, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you on your own. I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will comfort you, who will support you, who will guide you, who will lead you into truth, who will convict of sin, who will also empower you for the task." And Paul then goes on to write in Romans 8, verses 14 to 16, that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You didn't receive the Spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with your spirit that we are God's children. And I think in those moments there is an opportunity for us to hear God's thoughts about us. You know, to not be consumed with the white noise of that's out there, the white noise that just wants to reinforce who we're not, and take time to hear who we are and who we might be and who we can be in God. But even greater than that is, who is God for us and towards us, you know? And who is Jesus? He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. You know, the Bible talks about number of our hairs in our head being known. You know, the Bible talks about not a sparrow, the tiniest bird, falling to the ground, and our Father in heaven knows about it. How much more does he care for us and care for the little things about us? I also find it great comfort that Jesus experienced elements of loneliness. He knew what it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, when he would go and almost find the disciples having a kip. You know, he knew that loneliness early on in his ministry when he went into the wilderness on his own. He was tempted, yet he overcame. I think he definitely knew loneliness when he's crying out in the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So yeah. One of the things of loneliness is that people think, nobody knows what this is like. I'm the only one going through this. Nobody knows this. And I think at the very, very least, your Saviour in heaven knows exactly what you're going through. And he wants to come and he wants to invade your life. He wants to invest in your life and wants to help you through this. He does that in the spiritual level, but also your connection in community, your connection in church, your ability to have a conversation and open up and talk to somebody is, I think, so, so important in that.
These are great thoughts and so helpful for blokes to hear. And just to kind of jump off the back of what you're saying there, I think a lot of what Scripture does and what a lot of our relationship with God does is it brings us a different perspective on ourselves. Yes. My own journey with loneliness, I had a brief spell of depression in 1995. This was about 4 years, 5 years before I became a Christian. And my issue was to do with, you know, if I really opened up to you as a person, I was saying to myself, well, if you really knew what I was like, you would reject me. You would not accept the real me, you know, and I had a real deal with that. And I went to see a secular counselor. She wasn't a Christian. You know, this was prior to my becoming a Christian. And one of the things that she did was she got me to have a different perspective on myself that I was having on myself. And I think a lot of guys struggle with this. I really do. I think what they do is they tell themselves a script that they have made up or that they have received from somewhere or that has come from family or has come from friends or from some place or other. Anything, you know, that could have come from anywhere, but it's not necessarily biblical, and it's not necessarily truthful. And what she helped me to see was that some of the attitudes I was having to myself, some of those scripts were not correct, and I needed to reframe some of those scripts. And that sent me on a bit of a journey, and I started to I was lonely, for 1995 to 98. I mean, you wouldn't have told it at work. I was a pretty affable guy. I could put up a good front. But actually, the weekends were dreadful. I used to go home in that period of time dreading the weekends, because it felt like from Friday evening through to Monday morning, there was just nothing, nothing at all. And I did get depressed, and I really battled with it. And work was like a tonic for me. And I can understand why guys bury themselves in work, because it can kind of be a distraction from the issues that they're facing. But really, I had to get to the source of what were those negative scripts and what was going on. And when I became a Christian in 2000, I was very surprised and kind of delighted, actually, to find that really a lot of the Bible gives us a different scripting of ourselves than we come up with ourselves. Yeah. It tells us things about us that are really refreshing and life-giving. And, for instance, Psalm 18:19 says that the Lord rejoices in us. He rescues us because he delights in us. Now, that's a fantastic concept, because it's like, so you're worthy of rescue. And the reason you're worthy of rescue is because you have a heavenly father who just delights in you. And that's such a powerful concept to get your head around and to receive into your spirit. So just hearing you talking about the scriptural side of how God wants to heal some of this problem reminded me very much of how I kind of came from the loneliness thing, from a whole lot of negative scripting that didn't really work and was untruthful. Yeah. And as I stepped into my faith more and more and more, I started to realize that what God was speaking over me was correct and right and truthful. And so that's really, really helped me. One of the scriptures for me that I get so much encouragement from is John 15:15, where Jesus at the Last Supper, he says, "I actually call you my friends." We are friends with Jesus. And that, picks up on some of the things that you've been saying, Gordon, about how we're linked with God. And that's got to be first. Mark, maybe if you could go first, what are some practical strategies that blokes can really get hold of to maybe recognize loneliness, start breaking the loneliness, start doing some practical things to address the loneliness that bring them hope, that bring them some encouragement? Just kick us off with that.
I think it's going to be helpful because we are emerging from different lockdowns and different restrictions. I think it is going to be easier, to get together with a mate, to call, instead of cutting yourself off, to actually, push yourself a little bit further to phone a friend, as they do on Millionaire, isn't it? But phone a friend and say hi. And it may not be about yourself. It may be just checking in with someone else and seeing how they're doing and seeing how, how's it gone for them, over lockdown. And actually, within that conversation, be able to share your own story. So I think, we could just initiate a conversation with someone else, or even, I've got somebody in mind now. We haven't been able to get together. He's in England, I'm here, and I'm just, at some point, I'm going to phone him and say, "Hey, mate, shall we get together and have a coffee and have a walk?"
Yeah, that's great.
Have a walk, not just a coffee, and actually, it's amazing what could emerge out of that conversation, but just sort of, no particular reason for it, but just to connect.
That's great. So, I mean, that's a very, very practical thing for any bloke that any bloke can do. It's very, very simple. Initiate some contact, or if you sense another bloke's doing that with you, respond positively to that and don't rule that out, and put a little bit of time into it. It can be a McDonald's breakfast, could be a walk. It could be a phone call. I just think that's great. Anything else, Mark, that you'd say that's a real practical start?
I think you can go and play golf with another guy now, or you can do some sort of sporting activity or something with another guy, or with a couple of guys. I think, depending on where you live in the UK, determines how big your group could be. But I think it's time to emerge, from looking at four walls, just to getting out there. Hopefully the weather will turn a bit more for us, even though it's
been so cold, isn't it?
Late bank holiday. Apparently, it was 25 degrees in lockdown last year, this time last year.
Yeah, it was really warm, wasn't it? Yeah.
Struggling with, I expect Gordon's minus six up there, isn't he? But, we're about 6 or 7 degrees here. So
what's this 25 that you speak about?
You've never seen that, have you? But,
Gordon,
That's true.
Gordon, tell us, just give us a practical thought for any bloke who's listening to this, who's like, yeah, I'm identifying with some of the things you're saying. I've struggled with this, if I'm really honest. Where would I start?
Yep, let me break it down into maybe a couple of things. I think internally, you've said it already, Nick. Will I believe the enemy's lie, or will I believe Father God's truth about me?
That's,
you know, as written in his word. So it might be sitting with your Bible for a little bit and saying, Lord, what's your truth about me? What are those scriptures that are real, that are true, those Bible verses that I can maybe write down, that I can stick up around about the place, you know, a mirror inside my wardrobe when I'm, you know, open the door to get my shirt out in the morning, or my undercracker drawer when I go to get my boxers on in the morning. I can literally say, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. You know, he's my father who's for me. I am not an orphan. I am a son. You know, scriptures like that will affirm who I am in God. I think, you know, it sounds really, really practical. Men, get your backside to church. Men, get to the men's meeting that's on. You know, it never ceases to leave me scratching my head at the number of times where I'm lonely, but I don't go to get involved in anything. You know, get involved. You know, get to know people. Yeah, let them get to know you. You know, I think I would say get a passion and find those of a similar passion so that you can form that bond or relationship that's there. I think get a project as well. Women will talk about their emotions like that. They don't need an excuse. They'll talk about it. Men, how you doing? I'm fine. Clearly they're not, but men, I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm alpha male. You know, whereas you give them a hammer, you give them a saw, you give them a project to do, and you come alongside and you say, how's it going, big man? All of a sudden, it's amazing how they'll begin to talk and begin to open up. I think the other thing you can do is to look and see, is there anybody else who's out of it? Anybody else who's missing in action? Anybody else that I can, rather than looking at what I'm not, begin to look and say, how can I be a blessing? You know, begin to count your blessings. Instead of looking what you've not got, count and look and see what you have got. And then beyond that, look and see, is there anybody else that's in need that I can maybe, you know, come alongside, that I can help them, rather than at times it being, let me receive. Now, obviously, we need to be in a position of being well enough to be able to do that. But I think the more that we give, the more that we receive from the Lord as well. So I think there are a couple of things that we can maybe do.
I remember going on a bike ride with a bloke, and 40 miles into this 50-mile bike ride, he eventually said, I'm worried about my dad who's in hospital. It took that length of time, and it just popped out, you know, with 10 miles to go. And that's how blokes do it. They don't just sit down and chat straight from the off. They need to be doing something, I think. Liam, any thoughts from yourself on how can blokes break this deadlock of loneliness? What would you say to a bloke?
The biggest challenge, the biggest obstacle for anybody is reaching out in the first place and taking that first step. That can be the toughest, you know, the toughest thing to do is deciding, right, I'm gonna be vulnerable, I'm gonna sign up to a group, I'm gonna get involved in a sport, and I'm just gonna get involved. You know, we're all experiencing the same seas, but we're navigating them in different boats, and that looks very different for each one of us. But when we start talking to each other, we realise that there's similarities in our journeys, there's similarities in how we cope, there's similarities in how we feel. And underneath that front that we like to put on in front of everybody else, we're all the same. And sometimes, you know, we can walk around and thinking no one's going to understand, no one's going to appreciate, no one's going to know what I've been through. And I've seen it and I've experienced, you know, you sit in groups, you talk about stuff, and before you know it, you know, someone says something and you just click with them straight away. You relate to their experiences and it, you know, it prompts conversation. You find encouragement in it. But the biggest challenge is reaching out in the first place, you know. And the best place to start for me is church, like Gordon said. You know, don't just turn up on a Sunday and sit down in the pews. Get involved, serve, you know, help set up, help, you know, maintain the building, get involved in a team, you know, things like that that just start, you know. And at the start of lockdown, that seems so, so long ago now, doesn't it? But last year, we, you know, I think many of us as church leaders, I hit a bit of a slump. I didn't know what I was doing for a little while. I felt quite lonely, actually, stuck in the mud. And I was grateful for a few guys, you know, around me that you know, connected with me. And I grabbed that opportunity. Actually, I've built up a great relationship with a local church leader over this last year of regular, you know, coffees over Zoom and now just meeting up with him and stuff. And it was there. People recognized kind of, I guess, the situation that we were all in. And, you know, and I kind of could see the need for it, you know. So you've got to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You've got to put your hands up and say, I do need help. I do need to connect. I am struggling. You know, I've found it quite alarming that, you know, Mark said the most popular, you know, the ages of 45 to 49, you know, that kind of struck a chord with me. I'm 41 this year. I am younger than you three, for quite a, you know, quite a lot, actually, because you're all seriously old.
Thanks, Neil.
But, you know, it's kind of that scary, that midlife crisis that people go through, because I think it's that perception of where I should be and what I should have achieved by now and what is somebody else going to think of me. And if I don't reach and match that standard, you know, what are people going to, they're going to think that I've failed? And it's that internal dialogue. So there's loads of things going on at the same time. But the biggest thing that you can do is reach out, whether that's a couple of years ago, I was involved in setting up a community shed in the area for retired men. And they meet and they make things out of pallets. That's it. They have a cup of tea, they destroy a pallet, and they make bird boxes. They have the time of their lives. And so many of them said, this is the best thing that's happened to me since retirement, because I can get out, I can get into a shed. Things like that, they're everywhere. If you Google community sheds, they're everywhere. And you can just turn up and everybody is in the same boat. So, yeah, reach out. That's the biggest hurdle, but the most rewarding as well.
That's brilliant, Liam and Gordon, and also Mark. Just great. Mark, I'm going to just come to you as we close, really. Have you got any final thoughts for blokes who are struggling with this?
Yeah,
one thing
that struck me is there's going to be guys listening to this that aren't in a church. And so I just wanted to just to encourage you, for those guys who are Christians, who are part of a church, you know, about who else are you connecting with who's not part of your church? There'll be other guys that are on the fringe, on the edge, because they're related to someone in your church. And that's the case in our church. And so in the last couple of months, I've reached out to a couple of guys who don't actually come to church, but actually, you know, have shown a bit of interest from a distance, but who I both know, you know, have struggled in recent months. One guy lost his best friend, his dog, and it's absolutely devastated him. And he's really struggling in that situation. And another guy who's just struggled with the whole issue of mental health challenges and the isolation that he feels, and even suicide tendencies. And what I've done, what I personally done in lockdown, is I've started listening a lot more, you know, to not just podcasts, but listening to the Bible being read, the audio Bible, and listening, you know, to some sort of biblical devotions. And so I've invited a few people to join me on that journey. And so about every couple of weeks, there's about 30 of us that do a Bible reading together, you know, not together, but actually all doing it together via YouVersion. And this week, knowing that this was coming up, I thought, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna invite a few other guys onto this latest reading plan that we're doing about developing a relationship with Jesus. And I put it out there, and I said, look, you know, don't feel any pressure, but here's a link if you want to join us on this latest reading plan. And I was absolutely gobsmacked when I got a text back, and I said to this guy, look, I'll keep you in the loop in future if you want to do that. He said, yeah, I do want to do it. And I said, I'll be praying for you. And I really had a face-to-face conversation with this guy. I just sent this message, and he sent a message straight back. And he said, okay, mate, thanks a lot. It's mad. He said, I've been praying on my knees a lot lately for you to invite me to read one of these plans with you. And he said, thank you very much, bro. Awesome. And I just think, well, there's one ordinary guy who's struggling big time with some stuff. And he was just pleased to be invited along on the journey, I thought. And that sort of, so that made his day and it made my day. And it's just simple things where we reach out in what we might think is a small step. You know, we can do it in a friendly way, and we've got access to people. I just let them make their minds up. But I thought, oh my goodness, look at that. Thank you, Lord, you know, for prompting me in that way to reach out, not just to guys in church, but all the guys who aren't in church. You know, let's face it, we've got a shed that we go to. You know, some of the churches do like look like sheds, let's be honest. But, you know, but there are those community sheds out there, but we can invite guys into our shed.
Guys, it's been so, so brilliant to hear your wisdom and your experience and your biblical perspectives. And I hope for all of you guys listening in that there's something in here that has really helped you today with this podcast. And we're going to go to just Mark's just going to Mark leads our men's national ministry in Elim, has an anointing on him for men's ministry, I believe. And we love supporting him in that. And I think, Mark, it's just appropriate at the end of this really special podcast if you just close in prayer for us. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's great. Nick, I just want to thank you for all the work that you do in terms of putting all these podcasts together and our social media Monday morning devotion. If you don't get that, you need to get it, guys. We've got our WhatsApp business group, which enables us to share our resources with guys throughout the week. And it's just such a privilege to be here today. And I know that we're talking into various situations. We don't know all the details, but we know there's guys listening in today who needed to hear this. And I just want to assure you that we are praying for you. Jesus issued many invitations to men, and you see them outlined in the Gospels, where we have this ongoing narrative between Jesus and 12 ordinary guys that he called to sort of do life with him. And so in various ways, at various times, Jesus offered invitations to people to come to him. And in Matthew 11, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What is that weary and burden? What's that all about? Well, weary are the pressures that we put on ourselves, and being burdened are the pressures that we allow other people to put on us. And basically, I expect all of us fall into that category where we've got pressures that we put on ourselves of all kinds, some of which we've discussed today, and there's pressures from outside that are put on us. And the best thing we can do is sort of point you to come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. So I just want to pray that over you. As we approach today, we really felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit. There'd be some guys out there who've even contemplated suicide or may even be in that place right now. And we just want to emphasize the message, you know, from Christ himself, that you're not alone. Gordon gave some great scriptures. You need to re-listen to those. You know, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And whatever the lie of the enemy has been in your life, that you're on your own, you know, that's exactly what it is. It's a lie. And so we want to dispel that lie today and say, you're welcome to be part of this band of brothers. And we as a team are uniting in prayer right now to pray for you, whatever your situation, wherever you find yourself. Father, I thank you that we've been able to spend this time together discussing this difficult topic, Lord, of loneliness and isolation in men and the places that that can lead men to. And Father, I just want to pray right now that for every guy that is listening, whether they're sitting down, whether they're driving, whether it's they're just about to nod off to sleep or just waking up, Father, I pray right now by your Holy Spirit that they'll have a strong sense of your Spirit and your presence and your peace with them. Your word says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we give our prayer request to you. And the promise that we have when we do that is that you come with your transcendent peace, the peace that enables us to sleep at night. And Lord, I pray that for my brothers listening today, that they'll know you to be a loving Heavenly Father. Whatever their experience of Father has been, that they'll know you to be a loving Heavenly Father, that you've got their best interests at heart, that you have got a hope and a future for us. And that, Lord Jesus, no matter how difficult our situation, as we invite you into the middle of that, so you enable us to navigate our way through. Father, I pray for every guy here, you know, to go forward from this moment, knowing that they're more than conquerors through Christ who loves them. May your blessing be upon them and their marriages, their families, their present and their future. In Jesus' name, amen.